Good morning. That's a nice compact audience, so I think maybe we can have more of a conversation rather than a, you know, a presentation. But I'm going to probably skew a little bit from what I had brought as some visuals to share about, you know, the subject I wanted to talk about. And I'm going to skew it because I really enjoyed, although I just came in the latter part of this panel discussion between my friends Vivek, Vispi, Sabina, and I thought it was very interesting, the subject. I wish I was there earlier. So I think this issue about design, about plagiarism, about or inspiration, and the fact about you know, design really holding that broader canvas of not just architecture, but much broader aspect of anything about from what we wear to what a painter draws to other aspects of design. So yes, I think it's a very important subject that you all were discussing. And in line with that, I would like to talk about how within architecture itself, you know, we all can look at, not just we all, I mean society can look at architecture through its lenses and read it very, very differently. So for us as professionals in the design field, how do we go about the Pinterest that you mentioned, or you know, other inputs that educated clients of ours come to us with? Everybody has an opinion on architecture. Every single person can, has, and should probably also have an opinion on architecture. So within that gamut, when we all go about creating buildings, creating urban environments, creating urban responses, how do we go about doing that in a meaningful manner and trying to assimilate what could be very, very varied different perceptions of people? And yes, there has been an architecture, a period in architecture, which was all encapsulating, which brought in different fields, which in today's world have just gone into opposite direction of super specializations. But there was a time in our profession where different fields came all under the ambit of an architect. This, of course, I'm sure most of you recognize, if not all of you, is Leonardo da Vinci. So I'm going to talk about, and I don't really mean theory when I'm saying theory, but what I'm trying to say is that people's perception of what architecture is, and then the praxis or the practice side of it. So different approaches to architecture. Some have been very influenced by architecture and sociology, some others by technology. Architecture and politics can never be separated from each other if we look back in history. Architecture and art, which I also strongly believe are inseparable and married to each other. Then of course science. So with this art on the one side, this science on the other, architecture as a continuity can never ignore history. And then of course has to look into what a common man might not be able to perceive, but what is to come. An architecture or an urban response to the city where it belongs, to the culture where it again belongs, and of course what is becoming more and more important today as we struggle to even get fresh air to breathe is architecture and a sense of sustainability or ecology. So with all these different lenses that are there, different aspects, whichever we all choose to follow or choose to have our preferences towards, I'm going to talk about how as a practice we are looking at projects, how we attempt to make some kind of meaningful contribution to our urban conditions. So just running through some of the works, and I'm very happy to have your critical reactions to it. I always welcome that. And so this is one project which is a very different scale of work that is coming to India. This is the India International Convention Center, which is coming up in Dwarka. This is very close to the airport. 225 acres of land. So how and what do you do with these kind of projects, which are not only large and in terms of scale, but also in terms of relevance, whether it's cultural relevance, whether it's economic relevance, whether it's what probably one might say is going to become historical reference when we look back in times to come. So how do you get inspired, like the panel was discussing? So there are certain desires that one looks, one has when one starts working on projects like this. There's always, of course, the overriding interest or overriding concern that how do you innovate? Then there is, of course, certain beliefs that our society has. Can we respond to those beliefs in a meaningful manner, whether it's Vastu or it's any other belief? Memory, how can you recreate that memory of the treasure that we have from history in India, Indian architecture? And then, of course, the relevance of its context, its city, where it belongs. So this is... I'm going to be just pointing on this particular screen. So that's the site within the Dwarka urban grid of about 225 acres, and that's the T3 airport runway. So the inspirations of art, how do we take on from there? The inspiration of creating an icon, a contemporary palace, as we called it, and then the kind of architectural expression that these buildings should don. So what we have here is going back into history, into looking at understanding of the publicness of certain buildings. So a production of a path which people take when they go to a certain significant building, and how that can become an experience in a project which is public in nature. How do you elevate the people to another level of experience, that they start walking on these elevated levels rather than just remaining on ground, and how they start interacting with the space. Then, of course, the inspiration of history, and how you can take on from there and create something modern, embraced with technology, and yet being significant in its architectural expression. And then, of course, the idea for me, this is something one, it's important, that I have noticed that whenever you land in any city in the country, and I've mentioned this before also, I think one thing that strings together is that we always see these black syntax tanks. Now they started becoming white also, but these tanks which are on the rooftop. I think roof is another experience that we should look at and see how that can be experienced, especially in a context like this where you are just, the aircraft is literally touching ground when it approaches the site. I thought that there is a way to look at aerial art and how you can create patterns, how you can create art as you approach this the city. So any visitor coming into our city is experiencing it at another level. So I should step back and tell you what I'm talking about in this. For those who don't know much about this project, this is called the India International Convention and Exposition Center. So basically, this is a large convention center coming up with very large exhibition spaces. This is meant to create, to make a mark for India and Delhi on the global level, that we, as a very progressive country, don't have such facilities of expositions, businesses, mega conferences. So this is the project where India, which has now been allotted the G20 summit, where the 20 prime ministers and presidents of the world are going to gather in 2022. This is the facility which they are going to be using. So it's going to be Asia's second largest convention center and the world's third largest. So that one large building is going to have 10,000 people. And then there are these mega exhibition halls, which you see here in this image. This is one of the five halls. And each hall is about 8 lakh square feet. So maybe what we are sitting in this room probably is about 4,000 square feet. And we are talking about 8 lakh square feet. So that's the scale of these kind of buildings, where you are going to have aircraft, shows, etc. happening, besides any kind of exposition. So that's the overall look of this complex, where that's just an aerial view, as you will, like I said, approach the runway, and it has different facilities. So these are the five exhibition halls. There's a convention center, that building there, which is in itself is huge, but you can see the scale. This is an indoor arena, which the government of India wants, that like you have the Madison Square Gardens in New York City, something which will be, you know, all-weather facility with 20,000 capacity. And what we've done here is we've created a retractable roof. And then there is an Aero City and hotels and offices and all the other kind of development. That's another view of the same. That's the runway that you see. So this is the convention center building with a massive LED facade, the world's largest. And then ideas inspired from, you know, when you have a large public area and public gathering. So inspired from the stepwells that people are sitting, watching, people being watched, people watching others, that kind of experience. The indoor arena, some of the images of that. And a large foyer, which is actually going to be an all-weather foyer, which connects the various exhibition halls. So this foyer itself is 1 kilometer long. And that's the metro station. So we've been really striving hard to talk to DMRC, because there is the underground metro station right in the heart of the complex, which will bring people from all over the city. So we are trying to convince them that, you know, the underground stations also now need to have a different kind of look and feel in the city. This is another project you might have been reading in the papers recently, in fact, maybe before yesterday also. This is the new policy of DDA, which is talking about transit-oriented development and high density. So how you do development around the transit stations, the metro stations. So we have looked at it from three perspectives, what we call high density, diversity, so that this doesn't become, you know, something on a Gurgaon model where you're secluding people, but it's more inclusive and diverse. And then of course areas of influence, which are governed by the distance from the metro station. So these are just images of what kind of development that is. I won't go too much into detail, but just to give an idea, and of course if there are, you know, more and more details. This is going to be India's tallest building with 100 floors. And then enclaves of development, which basically are more inclusive. So it has low-rise and high-rise development. And so these are basically residential buildings with mixed use at the lower levels and inclusive courtyards. And yet they are, you know, sort of flowing through, where people can also come in and use these spaces. Now, from this kind of, like I said, different lenses for architecture as you go about different projects. So from this kind of a development in the heart of the city to something which is in West Bengal, where the client wants to create a new modern Shantiniketan. Shantiniketan, as inspired by Rabindranath Tagore, the kind of tranquil, liberal education that has been, you know, the ethos of that university, and how to create a modern Shantiniketan. So this is how we have been inspired by the original Shantiniketan. So for us, in this kind of a project, it was not so much about creating buildings or the infrastructure, but it was about creating opportunities where other disciplines of design, particularly art, sculpture, paintings, murals, they become the prime element, the prime visual experience, and the buildings literally become backdrops, or actually the walls turn into canvases where you can have you know, different art forms come alive. So that has been the idea. And of course, whatever buildings that do have a presence, you know, are inspired by the vernacular. So we have created this kind of a lake in the heart of the complex, and it's a completely low-rise development, so that every building other than one library, and I'll show you why, but all the buildings are basically just hidden under the crown of large trees. So it's the landscape, it's the art which takes over, but for you know, a library building with a clock tower, which kind of beckons that this is a university of learning. Other than that, so that's the auditorium building, and then the lake and large trees and landscape and murals. And as you walk around in the campus, this is the feel that you start getting with adobe construction, with walls, with bamboo, and artwork that can happen all over the campus. So these are the academic buildings. Again, breezeways that have been created, linking. So it's about being more transparent, that you know the spaces just flow, the landscape just flows, and art is abounding everywhere. That's another look and feel, and the buildings are all clad in bamboo. So from that, another kind of urban response, where you look at a historical city like Bhopal. This is the new secretariat of the government of Madhya Pradesh, this project. So the brief there was that these are existing government buildings, and this is what they refer to as a very iconic building for those who are familiar with Bhopal. This is their old secretariat building, and about 200,000 square feet. And what they need is now a much larger facility of more than a million square feet, which they wanted somewhere around this building. So the idea for us was that this building, which has a lot of relevance, local relevance, and a relationship with the people, we felt that this building needs to be embraced. We are not here to counter it. We are not here to certainly subdue it or ignore it. So how do we work with this building and actually embrace it, and then go about creating something which needs to be much larger and yet doesn't sort of overcome that building. So that's Charles Fourier's assembly building. This is the building I'm talking about, the existing secretariat. And then what we created as gestures. So when you come down this axis, which is kind of similar to Rajpath in some manners, so as you approach it, you get that symmetrical feeling and the idea of the embrace to this building. And then these become what we call or refer to as the beacons of democracy. So you have these four elements, because the whole site is on a hilltop in Bhopal. So this is something where a common man can see this from anywhere in the city almost, and can relate to the democratic setup that he is in. So that's some visuals of the same building. And then to another genre altogether, industries. When we design industries, some people tend to think that they are really engineering outcomes. They don't have, there's only that much an architect can contribute. On the contrary, I feel that an architect should lead such projects and come about creating, something which is more meaningful, both in terms of environment and context. So this is this large British multinational. I think everybody in the construction sector knows JCB, the people who build these excavators. So their facility in Jaipur. Now, this particular area, now Jaipur is interesting from a climatological point of view, because on the face of it, we all know that it's a desert and there's no water. But the fact is that Jaipur, if we study the climate data, there is a lot of rainfall that happens there as well, except it's very seasonal. So we felt that that seasonal rainfall, how do we capture that water, how do we conserve that water, rather than just allowing it to drain away. So we created this lake, this water body, because it's a large site, it has a topography, so we, even the storm water runoff all gets collected here. It has its own visual appeal. And then the engineering part comes into it, but again, with the architectural consciousness of how you bring in natural light, how you bring in elements where you integrate the different services. This is another facility opposite that of the JCB, which is for a Brazilian multinational company. Incidentally, the client here is, he's a very large Brazilian group, and the owner is likely referred to as, the Ratan Tata of Brazil. He is also an architect by training, but he owns these big industries, and they are the world's largest ATM manufacturers. So this is their facility, and what we've done is, again, we've tried to create an architecture where it's not just about the utilitarian aspects of the building, but where you can have shaded areas to walk in, create, bring in some vibrancy into the building. You might have inside a mechanical box in which you're just manufacturing, but how to not embellish really, but how to create a building which can be more communicative with people, can be more visually delightful to people. So bring in some elements of color, bring in some elements of volumetric play, bring in elements of shade and shadow, and that brings in, I think, a kind of a refreshing look to industrial architecture or architecture of industrial facilities. And yet the engineering has to be very prim and proper. So if you notice here, even here we have tried to bring in elements of natural light, but also all the engineering services that go into a manufacturing facility, how they are aesthetically lined up and laid out so that it's not really a clutter. So these are things eventually, I think, if the intention is there, then an architect can go about, entering into this domain to influence it. Last visual is about, again, like we were saying, how can architects play a role across buildings, across the built environment. This is a project I'm just showing you as an example because it's again unique. It's a redevelopment of what we are hearing today, a lot of railway stations. This is the Gandhinagar railway station in Gujarat. And this is, the role, important role for the architect was to also project manage it because it was having its issues. So this is interesting because it's the first time ever in India that overrunning railway tracks, railway lines, there is a station, of course, but then there is a five-star hotel coming up. So that's a Leela Palace Hotel, a 300-room Leela Palace, which is also the tallest building of Gandhinagar. So it's all built overrunning railway lines. So from an engineering point of view, huge challenges. From logistics and operational point of view, huge challenges. And keeping those in mind, I mean, we don't have to get overwhelmed with the challenges. How do you still create something very interesting? So there are lots of firsts to this project. Of course, it's under construction, as you can see, with the train still passing through, and all aspects of safety and technology and creating these are maybe not visible here, but this is the largest steam span in the country ever undertaken. So how do you construct this when the trains have to pass through all through the day? They can't stop that. Maybe at a frequency of one every hour or two every hour, but they still have to pass through. And yet this erection has to take place, yet that building has to be constructed. That's another visual standing at the podium level of this hotel complex. And those are those large span trusses and the tracks. So I would just conclude by saying that I think, like I said, theory and praxis, these are two things that I've always maintained cannot be disassociated from each other. And I also believe that architecture is something which is a profession. We can have lots of these clients coming with their Pinterest and Google and all the rest of it. But I think it's a very, very fulfilling profession. And I always believe that if we architects can come together with our thoughts, and I know Vivek and we have been doing that, and many of our, my friends here I've been interacting with, that if we can come together, I think we need to, my lifelong mantra is looking at that glass as half glass empty or half glass full. So let's look at the half glass full and fill the rest of it. And there are so many opportunities for us and so much that we still need to contribute here, because we are still a developing country. There's so much work for everybody, and I think